Ephesians 5, from verse 1 to 11, says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Many people ask, especially Christians, during this time of war and ravage and havoc, if they're really secure. Am I safe? What's going to happen to me? COVID-19, and then there's war. Someone was saying, can someone just spare us from all this? We had not even recovered from COVID yet. But it doesn't seem to me, especially according to scripture, that things are actually going to get better. When you read the book of Mark chapter 13, like we did last week, realize that one of the signs of this end times is that we'll have wars and rumors of wars, right? And pestilence and disease, and things are coming. There's so much to come. The question for the Christian is, am I safe? Am I secure? Yes, we must pray that God ceases the war. We must pray that God lifts the sickness. We must pray that God protects us. But he is coming as well, right? And the signs of his coming are that some of these things will happen. But where is the Christian's hope? Where is the Christian's faith placed? Praise God. Before I can say some five things about this text, I want us to read the same Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31 says, "What then shall we say?" I'll read verse 18 first, then I'll read 31. It says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." And Paul is saying that in the middle of these present sufferings, because Paul is writing just in the anticipation of the seizing of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and that was very gruesome. There was an emperor by the name Nero, and he persecuted Christians. People died. He was hanging people on poles and feeding Christians to lions. That was the situation that this church was growing from and into. And he says that we as Christians are groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the glory that is to come. Are we all together? So let's go back to our text in Romans 5. And then we'll go back to Romans 8 and read verse 31 to the end. The question we are asking is, what is this good news that we are celebrating? What are some of these things? Why does Paul say therefore here? When you read Romans 1 to 4, Paul has been laboring. He has been working hard to explain to the people in Rome that they have actually been saved. And first of all, he tells them where they have been saved from. It is God's wrath against sinful humanity in Romans 1, and how God has revealed his wrath to all men because of all their sins. And he actually qualifies and says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And he says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So the thing is, Paul is saying, since you have been saved, since God's righteousness has been given to you, therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, the first blessing is we have peace, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is peace the first blessing? The world is at war right now. But let me tell you, the greatest war is not between Russia and Ukraine. The greatest war is between God and man. And the Bible makes it so clear that God is at war with every sinner. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 1, God is angry with the wicked every day. In Ephesians 2, 3, the Bible says we were children of wrath. That's the greatest war. That's what we must fear most. To the dismembering of our bodies in this life, there must not be any fear. But there must be a trembling if you are to face a holy God and you have not made terms of peace with him. Praise God. And that's why Paul is saying the first blessing of salvation is that we have peace with God. Through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God was quenched on the cross. That everyone who believes in him is no longer at war with God. That's why Paul would confidently say, to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. Why is dying gain? Dying is gain because in that death, you are in the presence of the Father, right? Because you have peace with him. He welcomes you home to dwell with him forever. And we must feel for those who are not Christians. We must cry and groan for those who have not made terms of peace with this holy God. Because we must not fear the one who dismembers this body and destroys this body. We must fear the one who destroys the body and soul. That the one who casts sinful men into hellfire. We must pray, but we must also go and preach to those who have not made terms of peace with God. One of my biggest prayers for the war that's going on is that God may save as many from his own wrath. That many who flee the physical war would actually, because you cannot flee God's wrath, will come into peace with God. Praise God. So we have peace with God. This marks the end of our hostility with him. The dividing wall of hostility has been brought down. This peace was marked by Christ, the Prince of Peace. People will never be at peace if they are not making terms of peace with God our Father. The second blessing, verse 2, So, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, it says, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So the second blessing is standing in grace. So we have been delivered from enmity with God, and now we stand in grace. When people come to church on a Sunday morning and they are sinners, you don't tell them God is happy with you and God loves you. You tell them God is at war with you, and if you do not make terms of peace with Him, then there is no hope for you. And once they know that they are enemies to God, they will come to Christ in faith and they will be delivered from the wrath. But one of the other blessings of you being in Christ is that you stand in grace. That you accessing by faith that throne of grace means that you can present your requests to God. The book of Hebrews says, let us approach the throne of God with what? Confidence. That we may obtain mercy in times of need. Because you are saved, God can deal graciously with you. The Bible says, your sins I will remember no more. I have wiped away your offenses like a cloud. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. In fact, let's read Psalms 32. Psalms 32. This is David rejoicing in his salvation. This is what he says. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, and through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And he says, therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Paul is rejoicing in the confidence of his sins being forgiven. And so your sins being forgiven means you stand in grace. Justification grants us a place of standing, a place of security. So you know what? You are secure in Christ. So not only do you have peace with God, not only do we stand in grace, but the third blessing, just reading from verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of his glorious completion. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. So if you're following peace with God, standing in grace, and now confident hope of his glorious completion. The second part of verse 2, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's where now Romans 8 comes in. Verse 28 and 29. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. These are not things he does because of what we do, but the fact that he called you, he will justify you. He will sanctify you in this life and will glorify you in the coming life. So we have that confidence, praise God. The singer of that hymn, if you remember, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. The beauty of it is, even in this Christian life, we have peace, we are standing in grace, but we are also confident that he will hold us until the end. Praise God. He will hold us until the end. The security of you as a believer now, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of the wars, in the middle of the conflict in our economy, is that he made terms with you at the cross through Christ Jesus in the past. So that's done. You are not at war with him. You have peace with God. But now he is interceding for you, right? In Romans 8, he says the Spirit of God is interceding for us. Christ is interceding for you. He sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the security you have now. In the future, the glory of God is promised for you. So there is security because you made terms of peace. Now the Holy Spirit lives in you, Ephesians 1:13, guaranteeing your inheritance. That means the fact that you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, your inheritance is guaranteed. And the future glory is coming. Praise God. So what must we do? What must we do? And that's how I'm finishing. Verse 3 and 4 of Romans 5. Just following the thought. This is how we must react. This is how we must live. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So first of all, we rejoice in every single thing that we go through in this life. Praise God. We rejoice in the highs and in the lows. We rejoice because whatever is happening to us, whatever is happening to that Christian in Russia or Ukraine, is that whatever that suffering is, it is producing to them endurance. That endurance is producing character. That character is producing hope. And hope does not disappoint. Praise God. And even for you right now, maybe you're going through a financial crisis or anything. Or people you are preaching to are not receiving and they're ridiculing you. What God is doing through that is he is making you into his image. He is sanctifying you through that process. Praise God. The last thing, friends, is that this hope, verse 5, does not lead to disappointment. It will not disappoint us. Why? Because God demonstrated his love in this, verse 6 to 8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Are you helpless? Is this a moment of despair for you? Are you in a time where you think giving up is an option? No, remember that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And this is the confidence that we have, that he made terms of peace for us with God. We were enemies in our minds against God. And God was not going to relent from his justice. But Christ Jesus dying on the cross has made those terms of peace with us. And so you can boast in everything and in anything. You can say that with the situations that I'm in, there is one greater thing that has happened to me, that I am at peace with God. Praise God. So where is your hope? Is it built on Christ Jesus, or is it built on the fleeting things of this world? There's a hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the eyes of his glory and grace. And why are we turning our eyes on Christ? It's because that's where our hope is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Now let's finish with the last part of Romans 8 that we've been reading, verse 31 to the end. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So I'm imagining this is a Christian in Ukraine reading this, right now, and there's a bomb that's just crossing over, or maybe their wife and their children have just been bombed, and they are grabbing their Bible and they go to Romans 8. Yeah. What then shall I say in response to these things? If God is for me, who can be against me? No one. Russia, Putin cannot be against me, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, this is how God cannot be against you. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And that's why we can confidently pray. Because if he did not spare his own son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Listen to this. Who will bring any charge against those? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? No one can accuse you before God. No one can stand before God and make a claim. Because Christ has done it already. Praise God. No one can do it. To bring any charge. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So what did he do? He died and rose again. And now what is he doing? He is interceding for us. Yeah. This is a question that he asks. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And listen, some of the things that might separate us from the love of Christ shall trouble or hardship or persecution. You know, as Kenyan Christians, we, most of us, don't know what persecution is. We just read about it. But trust me, it's going to come at some point. But even that cannot separate us. Is it famine? Is it nakedness? Is it danger? Is it sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is the answer he gives to himself. He says, no, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Therefore I am convinced, this is his conviction, and I hope this is our conviction, that neither death, praise God, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. Not only in here in Kenya where there is peace, but even in Russia and Ukraine, nothing will be able to separate me, a Christian, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. And I think if you know that unbelievers are at war with God and you are a minister of reconciliation, you want to go to them and not just tell them God loves them, but tell them how serious them being against God means. That's we are ministers of reconciliation. So we can lay down our lives and our pride and everything and go to those unbelievers and tell them about Christ. And tell them, once you become a Christian, this is what you will say. You have nothing to fear. Praise God. Let's pray. Indeed, Lord, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Neither death, nor life, nor persecution, nor nakedness, nor sword, nor danger. Because our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We ask that we will have confidence in the realities of Romans 5, 1 to 11. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Would you give us a burden for the lost? Would you either help us to send missionaries to the lost, to pray for them, oh Lord, to also go, that we can start from our Jerusalems, in our neighborhoods, and tell those who are at war with God that there is reconciliation. And we can also pray for the Christians, for the non-believers in Russia and Ukraine and Iran and all those places, that they will come to faith in Christ, because then the war will not be a danger to them. For them to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we ask these things, believing and trusting in your name. Amen. Thank you.